Book of Revelation, chapter 20. Book of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation 20, beginning of verse 10. Book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. I want you to note that phrase, those words, the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Notice where the beast and false prophet are, not where the beast and false prophet were. Are. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, just jump ahead a little bit to chapter 21 and verse 8. Chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Why don't we stop here for a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, help me as I do my best to expound the Word of God this Lord's Day. Lord, I think there's some folks here today that aren't saved. I pray this exposition will do them some good. I pray, Lord, the fear of God will come upon them and they'll recognize that unless they get saved, they're going to go to a horrible place called the lake of fire. For those that are saved, and I think majority of folks here today are, I pray, Lord, to give us a greater burden for the unsaved people around us, those we see every day, those that are near and dear to us, family, friends, co-workers, neighbors. Help us to realize that time is running out. Unless they get saved, they too will wind up in a place called the lake of fire. So I pray you'll help me as I preach the Word of God today. May the Holy Spirit speak to hearts and direct my words and thoughts. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to speak this morning on the lake of fire. Sometimes it's called the lake of fire and brimstone. We saw that in chapter 19. I'm sorry, we saw that in chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Look also in chapter 19 and verse 20. And the beast was taken, that's the Antichrist, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And then in chapter 21, verse 8, it's also called the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now in the Bible, and you can check this out, it would make a good Bible study for you, but in the Bible, fire and brimstone always signify the hot wrath of God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Our Lord, of course, was referring to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 24 says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Psalm number 11 and verse 6 says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest, this shall be the portion of their cup. Revelation 14 and verse 10 says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. That is a very important subject, one that is overlooked by most preachers. They have done surveys and such and have discovered that the vast majority of church members have never heard a message on the lake of fire or on hell. Never, not even one time. Many preachers admit they never preach on it. They stay away from the subject. Most Christians don't know too much about it. And to unsaved people, it's all a big joke. Well, it's no joke. Now I have divided my exposition into three parts. First, is the lake of fire a literal lake? We all have seen lakes. Maybe you took a vacation one time or went out on a lake, did some fishing or swimming in the lake. Well, what kind of lake is a lake of fire? Is it a literal lake? I believe it is. We'll see what the Bible says about that. Secondly, we want to look at the difference between hell and the lake of fire. Oftentimes we use the terms interchangeably, but there is a distinction between hell and the lake of fire. And thirdly, who's going to be cast into the lake of fire? Who's going to be there? A horrible place to spend eternity, the lake of fire. With no way out. You're drowning out in the lake. Somebody might rescue you, come out in a boat and throw you a rope or something, but lake of fire, once you get in there, you can't get out. You'll be in that lake of fire a billion, trillion, zillion years. Never get out. So those are my three points this morning. The first one, is the lake of fire a literal lake? Now, if we take the Bible literally, we must conclude that the lake of fire is a literal lake. It all comes down to, do we take the Bible literally? Some people like to pick and choose what they believe. They'll say, well, these scriptures I can accept and believe literally, and I believe, but these other verses, I don't like that. I won't take that literally. And so it is with the lake of fire. Some people say, I believe in a literal heaven. I believe that's a beautiful place, and I can accept all, everything the Bible says about that. But lake of fire, no, I don't believe that. Well, let me tell you something. If we believe in a literal heaven, then we have to believe in a literal lake of fire to be consistent. Now, let's look at this lake of fire and brimstone. Now, if we take the Bible literally, we have to be consistent. For example, did God rain literal fire and brimstone down from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, he certainly did. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is not only referred to in the book of Genesis, it's referred to nearly 50 times in the Bible. It's referred to by Moses, by the prophets Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Amos, and Zephaniah. Why would God refer to it so many times if it wasn't literal? Definitely God rained literal fire and brimstone down from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah. It's also mentioned quite a bit by Jesus, and by the Apostle Paul, by Peter, by Jude, and by John in the book of Revelation. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6 says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Now stop right there. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 6 says, God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. These big cities, comparable to New York, San Francisco, and New Orleans, Chicago. If God turned those big cities into ash heaps, he could do the same thing for these big cities today. And the fact is, he did do it. And of course, he will destroy these big cities today. God is not going to put up with all this wickedness forever. His judgment's definitely going to come. So 2 Peter 2:6 says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow. making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So the Bible says the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was an example. An example to them who live ungodly. But you think most people are learning from this example? Oh, now we have so-called gay marriage? And you can't help but turn on that devil vision, and there's all sorts of homosexual cavities on the TV shows? And they're promoted as nice people, and the ones who oppose that kind of perverted lifestyle, they're the villains. So the good people, the happy people, the lovable people, the winsome people, the cheerful people, the ones you just love to have for your friend and neighbor, they're the sodomites. The ones who oppose it, the ones who think it's wrong, the ones who think it's a sin, they're the bad guys. And they're portrayed as the worst kind of villain. That's what's on TV. That's what's being taught in the public schools and universities. And that's what's the way it is today in America in 2009. So Peter says, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, turned them into ashes. He overthrew those cities, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. And there's a lot of ungodliness today. It's just appalling what is going on today. And so you would have to agree with me, it's a literal fire and brimstone that turned literal cities into a literal pile of ashes. If the Bible says it over 50 times, you'd be foolish not to take it literally. Now, I believe with all my heart that the lake of fire is also a literal lake of fire. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. Why don't we turn there? Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. Now, if you're not familiar with the chronology in the book of Revelation, let me tell you, most of Revelation is in chronological sequence, for the most part. Revelation is mostly about future events. In fact, keep your place in 19. I'll give you the outline for the whole book. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. We'll see a three-point outline right here. A threefold division of the book of Revelation. Write the things which thou hast seen. That's the past. That's Revelation chapter 1. And then he says, and the things which are. That's the present. That's Revelation chapter 2 and 3. What we call the church age. Seven letters to the seven churches. That's where we are right now. I think we're getting close to the end of the church age, but we're still in it. And then the things which shall be hereafter, the future, Revelation 4 to the end of the book. Now, Revelation 4 and 5 take place in heaven. Revelation 6 and following takes place right here on earth. When God opens up the seals, the seal judgments begin, then come the trumpet judgments, the vial judgments, and so on. Now, you get down to Revelation chapter 19, where at the end of the tribulation, the Lord has come back at the Battle of Armageddon. And look at chapter 19 and verse 20. The previous verse described the second coming of Christ and the battle of Armageddon. And then verse 20, and the beast, that's the Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet, that's the religious leader who will work closely with the Antichrist. The Bible does not identify who this false prophet is. There's been much speculation over the years. Many people think it's the Pope of Rome, and I'm inclined to believe that myself. But notice the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped him. And by the way, they have the technology right now to give people the mark of the beast. They have the technology right now. They can put a little microchip in your hand or on your forehead right now, and they can track you anywhere you go. Like LoJack in your car. They can find you no matter where you go. And they'll have everything in that little chip. They'll have your employment history, your medical history. Everything about you will be right in there. They have that technology right now. You say, well, preacher, are you trying to say that they can start this right away? Yes, I am. If the rapture would take place tomorrow, they could start that thing Tuesday morning. Of course, I think it'll be low-key in the beginning, maybe voluntary. But after a while, it's going to be mandatory. And the Bible says you won't be able to buy or sell or get a job or anything. Can't even travel without the mark of the beast. So verse 20 says that the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet were taken, and they have deceived those who received the mark of the beast. Well, how are they deceived? They're going to be told, it's a wonderful thing, take the mark. Wonderful thing. You'll get a good job. You'll make a lot of money. You'll get back a lot of money in the stimulus package. Huh?
Yeah.
It'll be a great thing for you. And, oh good, give it to me, give it to me. But they're deceived. And then the Bible says they deceived them, had a sin among others, and them that worshipped his image, the image of the Antichrist, the image of the beast. Now watch this. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So notice the Antichrist and the false prophet are cast alive into the lake of fire. Well, stick with me now. Go to chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them, he was cast into the lake of fire. Now, it's a chronological sequence. The devil gets cast into the lake of fire afterwards, after the Antichrist and the false prophet. But how much time has transpired between those two events? Right. The Antichrist and the false prophet were cast alive into the lake of fire immediately after the Battle of Armageddon. But the devil is not cast into the lake of fire until 1,000 years later. He said, how do you know that? Well, look at Revelation 20, verse 1. Well, save time, go to verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent was the devil, and Satan bound him 1,000 years. He's bound for 1,000 years. And then verse 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Verse 4 also refers to 1,000 years. Verse 5 refers to 1,000 years. Verse 6 refers to 1,000 years. And verse 7 refers to... Hey, listen. If the Bible mentions 1,000 years 6 times, guess what? It's 1,000 years. And that's why we refer to the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom is when Christ will reign on earth for 1,000 years. So after 1,000 years, the devil is released from this bottomless pit. He starts up some more mischief, and God says, enough of that. And we see in verse 9, they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And then the devil was cast into the lake of fire. Now here's what I'm getting at. It's 1,000 years later. Now you know and I know, you throw something in a fire, it's not going to be around in 1,000 years. Am I right? Sure, I have a fireplace in my living room. I throw something in there. I don't expect it to last very long at all. Certainly not 1,000 years. Amen? But look here in verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are. They're still there. 1,000 years later, they're still in the lake of fire. Still suffering in the lake of fire. Still being tormented in the lake of fire. And by the way, I know that some churches, some religions teach annihilation. And just like I mentioned, I have a fireplace. I throw something in the fire, it goes up in smoke, right? And that's the end of it. I throw a log in there, you know what? That log's not going to last long. I go downstairs to do some studying or whatever. I come back, that log is gone. You throw a newspaper in there, that newspaper's gone. They say hell is like that. You go in there, you're up in smoke, you're gone. No, it's not! Annihilation is not taught in the Bible. The Bible says where the beast and false prophet are. They're still there. 1,000 years have passed. They're still there. It's a literal lake of fire. Now, the Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 10, where the beast and false prophet are. Now watch this. And shall be tormented. How long? Day and night, forever and ever. Forever and ever. That means 1 billion years later, they're still there, still being tormented day and night, forever and ever. Another 1 billion years, 1 zillion years, they're still there. Don't anybody try to tell you, well, you know, heaven's forever. Heaven's eternal, but hell, that's only for a short while. Not according to my Bible. My Bible says they'll be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Now, C.T. Schwarz was a professor at New York University many years ago. And back in 1938, he wrote an interesting article about the lake of fire for a theological journal. And this is what C.T. Schwarz wrote in this journal. And I quote, he wrote, the word lake... By the way, isn't it interesting how a professor at a wicked school like NYU can write an article like that? Well, he doesn't teach there anymore, he's in heaven now, but the fact is, many times God raises up scholars like that, scientists like that, who believe the Bible. Here's a man at NYU. He said the word lake must connote a body of matter having liquid form. Therefore, if Scripture is truth, this eternal fire must be in liquid form. Did you get that? Here's a scientist who believes the Bible, and the scientist who was a professor at NYU said the word lake that's used in the Bible to describe the lake of fire must connote a body of matter having liquid form. Therefore, this eternal fire must be in liquid form. I like the way he put it. If Scripture is true, and it is true, this eternal fire must be in liquid form. Now note that even though he was a scientist, he acknowledged that Scripture is true. Didn't Jesus say in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let me continue with more of Dr. Schwartz's interesting comments. He refers to the enormous density of the midget or white dwarf stars. And I'll be honest with you, some of this stuff is like just mind-boggling to me. This is beyond my area of expertise, but I'm just quoting to you what he says here. I know the Bible says, I believe the Bible. He's looking at it not only from a biblical perspective, but a scientific perspective. And he says, most people know the sun, our nearest star, is rather hot. There is general agreement that the temperature at or near the center of stars is between 25 million and 30 million degrees Fahrenheit. That's pretty hot, huh? At such temperatures, much can happen, like the bursting of atoms, which helps to explain the phenomenon of the white dwarf, referring to the white dwarf stars and how hot they are. He goes on to point out that at such high temperatures, all matter would be in the form of gas. He says, in a white dwarf star, the pressure is so great that gases become compressed to the consistency of the liquid, although they may still respond to the characteristics of gas. Continuing in this theme, he says, before such a star could cool off and generally become dark, it would have to expand to normal proportions. That is, it would have to get to be more than 5,000 times its present size. Here is a difficulty. Such expansion would cause enormous heat, which in turn would absolutely keep the star compressed. So that, insofar as astronomers and physicists know, the midget stars can never cool off. The white dwarf star, to all intents, can never burn out. He concludes by saying, may I summarize to show that the Bible, God's Word, is scientifically accurate. We find first an eternal fire, which can never burn out. Being of a liquid consistency, it is secondly a lake of fire. In the third place, it cannot be quenched, for any quenching material, such as water, would immediately have its atoms stripped of electrons and be packed in with the rest. In the fourth place, since astronomers have been and still are studying the strange phenomenon, it is only too evident that the lake of fire has been prepared and is now ready. Now, Dr. C.T. Schwartz is speaking from a scientific perspective, and of course his conclusions are thoroughly biblical. And by the way, true science lines up with the Word of God. True science does not contradict the Word of God. That's why evolution is not true science. Evolution, to use a scientific term, is a bunch of baloney. Now, I'm not going to get into evolution this morning. We're speaking on the lake of fire. But I'm pointing out that Dr. Schwartz is a scientist, and he says the lake of fire is an eternal fire which cannot burn out. He says the fire cannot be quenched. And you know, and I know over and over again, the Bible says that. The Bible says hell is eternal. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus often referred to hell as everlasting fire. The Bible often uses those words, everlasting fire. Now, Jesus said five times in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, that the fire in hell shall never be quenched. He said that five times in Mark 6. The fire in hell shall never be quenched. C.T. Schwartz says, it is only too evident that the lake of fire has been prepared and is now ready. And of course, that's exactly what our Lord said in Matthew 25:41. He said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The lake of fire is prepared. God has prepared it. Originally it was prepared for the devil and his angels, but now it's going to be the final abode of all those who reject the gospel. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, you believe also in me. Why don't we turn there for a minute? We'll get back to Revelation. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You believe that? I certainly believe that. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now watch this. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Thank God Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Notice, heaven is being prepared for those who believe in Jesus and love Jesus. And the lake of fire is being prepared for those who don't love Jesus and reject Jesus. It's as plain as can be. He said, hell is prepared, the lake of fire is prepared, and the mansions up in glory land are prepared. Now you better make your preparations, amen? And make sure you're making the right preparations. Oftentimes we go on trips and we make sure we're prepared, right? We get our reservations, we pack our suitcase, we make sure someone feeds the cats while we're gone, or picks up our mail, or whatever it may be in your case. We make preparations. We make sure that our people on the job know, our employer or other co-workers know we're going to be out of time. We make preparations, but the most important trip of all, and it's a one-way trip, people don't make preparations. The most important trip of all, leaving this world, oftentimes people don't make any preparations at all. How tragic. I mean, I've got no time for that. Time for everything else. We read about all these people that lost all their money in this financial meltdown, these financial scams, and that Bernard Madoff ripped off people $50 billion. I can't even comprehend $50 billion. I can't even comprehend $50 million. That's my $50 billion. And then these people are saying, my whole life is ruined, and I'm ruined, I'm destroyed. Some folks have committed suicide. Let me tell you something. It's not working. To live for money and kill yourself and go straight to the lake of fire? No. Well, strictly speaking, they don't go straight to the lake of fire. They'll spend a little bit of time in hell, and then the Bible says hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. We'll say more about that in a few minutes. Now, the saint will live for all eternity in the place prepared for us by Christ, while the unsaved will spend eternity in the place prepared for the devil and his angels, according to our Lord's testimony in Matthew 25 and verse 41. Now, I said all that to say this. The lake of fire is a literal lake. If we take the Bible literally, and by the way, there's no other way to take the Bible but literally. And I have a real problem with people who pick and choose what they're going to take literally. Some folks say, I believe the Bible, but I also believe evolution. No, you can't believe in evolution and still believe the Bible. They say, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell. You can't believe in heaven, I believe in hell. They say, I believe Jesus Christ is the only way to go to heaven, but I still feel folks from other religions are going to go to heaven too. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we got to take the Bible literally. Now the second thing I want to talk about this morning is the difference between hell and the lake of fire. There is a difference. Now I know we preachers often seem to use the terms interchangeably, but there is a distinction. I'll try my best to explain what that distinction is in the time we have this morning. We often say, we preachers and other soul winners say it, sinners are going to spend eternity in hell. But strictly speaking, sinners will not spend eternity in hell. Sinners will spend eternity in the lake of fire. So how do you know that? Well, look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hey, up in heaven, there's a book of life. And everybody is going to be in heaven's name is recorded in that book of life. But if a name is not found written in the book of life, they go into the lake of fire. The Bible says they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now look at Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It doesn't say they're going to spend eternity in hell, but in the lake of fire. Now, I'll explain what I mean by that. First, let me say that hell is below us. Hell is beneath us. Lake of fire is somewhere out yonder in space. So there's two different places and two different locations. Hell is always described as below us. I think hell's in the center of the earth, right? That's where I think it is. I'll give you some reasons for that. The Lord said to the king of Babylon in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. You notice Isaiah 14, 9 says hell is from beneath. Hell from beneath is moved for thee. In the very same chapter, Isaiah 14 and verse 15, the Lord said to Lucifer, of course Lucifer was the angel who rebelled against God and became what we know as Satan. Satan means adversary. So Lucifer is the devil. And the Lord said to Lucifer, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Notice, the Lord said to Lucifer, you're going to be brought down to hell. And that lines up with what he said in Isaiah 14, verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee. So hell is beneath us. Lake of fire is up yonder in space somewhere. Ezekiel 31 and verse 17 refers to sinners descending down into hell. In fact, whenever you read about hell in the Bible, it's always saying he went down to hell. Down into hell. Now, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 22 says for a fire is burned in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell. Again, the idea being down below, the lowest hell. In Psalm 86, verse 13, David said, thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Job, we're studying Job in my Sunday school class now. We didn't get to chapter 11 yet. We just finished chapter 7, I think. But chapter 11, verse 8 says, the wisdom of God is as high as heaven and deeper than hell. So in the Bible, heaven is always high, hell is always low. Down into hell. Proverbs 9, verse 18 refers to the depths of hell. Psalm 55, verse 15 says, and let them, meaning sinners, go down quick into hell. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 23, and thou Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. 2 Peter 2, 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. So we can agree by these many, many, many verses I just quoted that hell is always described as down. Down. In fact, scientists have discovered that when they drill, they can only drill so far and have to stop because the augers and the drills burn up. They start melting. It's so hot when they get closer to the center of the earth. Why is that? Because hell's down there. You can't get only so far. You get too close to hell. Now, hell is the temporary abode or holding place of the disembodied souls of the dead. Some people say hell is the grave. The religious cults teach that. That is not true. Hell is not the grave. Don't anybody try to tell you that. That's unscriptural. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 23, our Lord said the rich man was in torment. Let me tell you something. Nobody's being tormented in the grave. Amen? You can go down a cemetery. You got some right here on Elmont Road. Well, you're not going to hear anybody screaming and crying down there. Amen? But I'll tell you right now, they're screaming and crying and gnashing their teeth in hell right now. That's right. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, Jesus said. Yeah. The rich man was in torment. Now, if you know anything about what the Bible teaches about hell, hell is a place of torment. And by the way, I know these cults say, well, Luke 16 about Lazarus and the rich man, that's just a parable. It's not a parable, it's a true story. Sure. It even gives us the names, Lazarus and Abraham, real people. Nowhere in Luke 16 is it said anything about a parable. It doesn't say Jesus said this parable unto them. No, it didn't say that. It's a true story. Now look with me, please, at Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14. And verse 10. Revelation 14, 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be what? Tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Notice the word torment. They're tormented day and night, forever and ever. That's eternal torment. So, there's no torment in the grave. Hell is not the grave. The body goes to the grave. The soul and spirit goes to either heaven or hell. Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. When people die in Christ, they go, their soul goes to heaven. Their body's in the grave, awaiting the resurrection. But the dead who are lost, they go right to hell, the Bible says. Not to the grave. Drop their casket in the ground, but their soul and spirit go to hell. And they're tormented in hell. Now, let me try my best to explain the difference between hell and the lake of fire. At the great white throne judgment, which is recorded in Revelation 20, and which we read about at the beginning of my message this morning, we see sinners will be judged and cast into the lake of fire. The Bible is pretty clear about that. If you go back to Revelation 20, it says in verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Small and great means rich and powerful, and also the poor and destitute. Those that are big shots, those that were nobodies, they all have to stand before God. No escape. And the books are open, and they're going to be judged out of the things that are written in those books, according to their works. And notice in verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, preacher, what do you mean by the second death? Well, it's like this. A sinner dies, and they put his body in a casket, and they put that casket in the ground. That's the first death. Then he stands before God at the great white throne, and God says, you're going into the lake of fire. That's the second death. That's the second death. Now, let me try to illustrate it. The difference between hell and the lake of fire. It's not a perfect illustration. In fact, there really are no perfect illustrations, but it might help us to think a little better. When criminals are booked right here in New York City, they're sent over to Rikers Island, where they wait for their trial to begin. I've been to Rikers Island, not as an inmate, but as a visitor. Not a very pleasant place. And there are also some criminals there who have been convicted and sentenced to like a year or less. But usually if they're going to be convicted for a lengthy period of time, they're sent upstate to one of the big penitentiary, state pens. state penitentiary, abstain. Now, when they're convicted in court, the judge will sentence them to this much larger state pen. And they leave Rikers Island, and they go up to this huge pen, like Sing Sing or something, upstate, a whole bunch of them upstate. Now, here's what I'm trying to get at. Hell is like sitting in a cell in Rikers Island. I read how many are over there. 20,000 inmates in Rikers Island. Of course, a lot more people in hell than that, but that's why it's not a good illustration, but I'll try my best to make a distinction between hell and Lake of Fire. But those that are in Rikers Island, just there for a while. And then they're going to go before the judge, and he's going to say, you're going to go up to the big pen. All right? Now, sinners, when they leave this world, they go to hell. But then in Revelation 20, we see they're going to stand before God and be cast into the lake of fire. So hell was just a temporary place for them. The lake of fire is where they're going to spend all eternity. You see the difference? That's the difference. Now again, this illustration is inadequate in many ways because the lake of fire is a lot worse than the state penitentiaries. Much, much worse. It's eternal. There's no way to escape the lake of fire. We read about people escaping from these state penitentiaries. They get out somehow. They kill a prison guard, or they climb over the wall, or they break out somehow. You can't get out of the lake of fire. Once you're in there, forget about it. You're not going to get out. And by the way, I've heard people make these stupid comments about, you know, you're only going to be there for a while and get out. Listen, let me just say for the record, there's no such place as purgatory. And some people think, well, you know, I'll go to purgatory for a while. I'd rather go there than lake of fire. Because in purgatory, you get out after a while. There's no purgatory in the Bible. You can study your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You won't find any purgatory. You say, how come some folks believe that? I'll tell you why. They don't believe the Bible. They don't read the Bible. If you read the Bible, you'll have to agree with me. It's not in the Bible. So say, what is it then? It's just like this. You trust Jesus Christ. You get saved. You go to heaven. I don't know why anybody would call themselves a Christian and want to go to a place called purgatory. Doesn't make any sense to me. Oh, I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. I think I'll spend a few years in purgatory. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense at all. Would you rather go straight to heaven? Amen? Amen. Didn't Jesus tell a thief on the cross that you'll be in paradise? Yeah. If a thief went straight to paradise, why do you want to go to a place called purgatory? It doesn't even exist. It doesn't even exist. Amazing what kind of foolishness people believe, amen? They say, well, the priest told me that. Has ever dawned on you the priest is wrong?
Yeah.
The priest can be mixed up? Sure he's mixed up. He joins a religion like that, he can't get married and have kids? Live in a big house with a bunch of priests drinking? Doesn't sound like a fun life to me, amen? I saw something in a paper now, I couldn't believe my eyes. Because unemployment is going up, people are joining these Catholic monasteries now. Because they get 3 square meals a day. No matter how desperate I am, I wouldn't want to join that, amen? Boy, you got to be pretty mixed up to do something like that, right? Man, come on, join the army to get 3 square meals a day, amen? Now the Marines, that's a little tough with that. They got to be... But seriously, man, I'd rather join the French Foreign Legion than join a Catholic monastery. What in the world are they thinking? But there's no escape from the lake of fire, no parole, no time off for good behavior. It's eternal. Once you're in, you can't get out. So what can a person do? Get saved right now. Stop fooling around. Some people think, well, I got all the time in the world for that. No, you don't. You know, I grew up in Queens, and a lot of the young people I grew up with, went to school with, they're in hell right now. They're in hell right now. I mean, I don't like saying that. It bothers me having to say that, but I'm just telling it like it is. It's true. They're in hell right now. Some of them got in car crashes. Some of them overdosed on drugs. One guy hanged himself in a one-night precinct on Union Street, Flushing. They're in hell right now. I preach to young people that are in hell right now. Sure. This young girl used to come to our church. She liked it. She became called youth activities on Friday nights. But she wouldn't get saved. And then one day, as my custom is, I recognize some visitors, Anybody here for the first time? And this young lady raised her hand and stood up. I said, good to have you with us. How'd you hear about our church? I often ask that question. Usually they'll say something like, well, a friend invited me, or I drove past and saw the sign, or somebody knocked on my door and gave me a tract. But she said, well, my sister used to come here. She used to love this church. And she told me her sister's name. Said, oh, yeah, I remember her. How's she doing? Oh, her boyfriend shot her in the head and killed her. Why don't you make her Avenue? Yeah. And she was only a teenager. You say, you're trying to scare me. I wish I could scare you out of hell, amen? If I could scare you into heaven, I would. None of us is guaranteed another day in this world. You don't know how long you're going to live, and neither do I. But you better be ready, amen? Sure. Now, who is going to be cast into the lake of fire? Who's going to be there? Look at Revelation 21:8. For the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, Revelation 21:8 tells us who will be cast into the lake of fire. Look also in Revelation 21, verse 27, please. Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall be in no wise enter into it. Enter into where? Heaven. The New Jerusalem. And there shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So to get to heaven, your name has to be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And by the way, over and over it says all liars are going to the lake of fire. Why does it say that? Because God hates lying. And if your life is characterized by dishonesty and you're always lying, you better check and see if you're saved. Because Jesus said the devil's the father of all lies. Maybe you're one of the devil's children. If you're always lying like that. Some people lie all the time. They just lie, lie, lie all the time. Well, look at Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. The gates of the city is the New Jerusalem. For without means outside are dogs. Somebody asked me about that a while back. These are the two-legged dogs, amen? This is not talking about, not talking about German shepherds or any lovable dogs you have, a pet dog. These are different kinds of dogs. These are two-legged dogs. All without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Cast into the lake of fire. Now let's look at this list in Revelation 21, verse 8. Who's going to be in the lake of fire? Who's going to be there? Revelation 21, 8. First, the fearful. Say, why would the fearful be first? I'll tell you why. The fearful refer to those people that are too cowardly to take a stand for God. Like the kid who goes to public school and all the other kids are wicked and using bad language, cursing and doing bad things, and they feel like, wow, if I tell them I go to church, they're going to think I'm not cool. They're going to think I'm not with it, you know? If I tell them I go to church, my mom and dad read the Bible all the time, and that the preacher preaches about Jesus and about going to heaven and hell, I'm not going to tell them that. He's too fearful to take a stand for God. Peer pressure. Listen, I know it's not cool to be a Christian. I didn't get saved to be cool. I got saved because I recognized Jesus died for my sins on the cross. And I said, thank God he died to save me. I'm going to live for him. Amen? Wasn't cool when I got saved either. My friends thought I was crazy. Sure. They'll make fun of me. Call me names. Holy Roller and all sorts of silly names. Think I cared about that? They said, well, what do you say to your friends when they get saved? How about giving them the gospel? Amen? You say, it's going to be hard to give them up. Don't worry, they'll give you up. Amen? But drop it like a hot potato if you really are serious about serving God. But you got to be serious. If not, you'll be in this list here. The fearful. Those who are too fearful to confess Christ publicly. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, Him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. So Lord said, if you will not confess me before others, I'll deny you before God. You deny me before men, I'll deny you before God the Father. Now, why are so many people afraid to come out and put their faith in Jesus Christ? And it's always been like that. You remember even Nicodemus came out to see Jesus by night. Ever wonder why he came to see Jesus by night? I think he was afraid. He was in the shadows at night. He wanted other Pharisees to see him. It's always been like that. Remember those two thieves that were railing on Jesus? One repented, the other one didn't. Right? People want to go with the crowd. All the crowd was mocking Jesus, walking by, wagging their heads, jeering on him. Things haven't changed. Look, if you want to go with the crowds, and you want to go with the traffic, I'll tell you what, you'll be in the majority. But Jesus said the road is narrow that leads to eternal life, and few there be on that road. The road is wide that leads to destruction. You'll be on the wide road, but that road's going to lead to the lake of fire. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. You get that? The fear of man bringeth a snare. How many people are on that just want to follow their friends and follow the crowd? Well, if I get saved, I got to stop listening to hip-hop music and rap music. Yeah, thank God to stop listening to that junk. Amen? Say, I can't listen to all that bad gutter talk from my friends. That's right. You should listen to that gutter talk. And I know they talk gutter talk. I stand out here on Elmont Road, and these teenagers on Elmont High walk by. Wow, my ears burn with all bad words I hear. And the way they dress, too. Atrocious. Now, some people misunderstand Revelation 21, verse 8. The Bible teaches that those who do not believe in Jesus Christ cannot be saved. Look quickly at John chapter 3. We'll get back to Revelation 21 in a minute, please. Go to John chapter 3. You say, who's going to be in heaven? Who's going to be in the lake of fire? I'll tell you right now. It's very simple, actually. John chapter 3 and verse 7. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. You can't get to heaven unless you're born again. If you're not born again, you're not going to get into heaven. You're going to go to the lake of fire. It's that simple. And then look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means should not go to the lake of fire, but have everlasting life. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Saved from hell. Saved from the lake of fire. He that believeth on him is what? Not condemned. Not going to go to hell. Not going to go to the lake of fire. But he says, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You get that? It doesn't say, if you don't get saved, someday you're going to be condemned. It says you're condemned already. Condemned right now. And then look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. If you're saved today, you already have everlasting life. It's not like, well, someday I'm going to die and stand before God, and I hope he's going to give me everlasting life. But friend, if you've trusted Christ right now, you have everlasting life. Has everlasting life. And then he says, and he that believeth not, I'm reading from John 3:36, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's all you need to know. That's very plain, isn't it? Now with that in mind, look at Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8. We see first comes the fearful. They're too fearful to take a stand for God. They're too fearful to publicly profess faith in Christ. They're too fearful to identify with Jesus and his church, his people. Then he says, the unbelieving. The unbelieving. Listen, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're condemned already. You have to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. Now, just recently, one of our church members and I were talking about these matters, and she mentioned that the Jehovah's Witnesses cult and the Seventh-day Adventist cult are very closely linked together. And that's a fact. If you study their history, you'll see they're intertwined. They're very closely related to each other. Charles T. Russell was born in 1852. He died in 1916. He founded the Jehovah's Witness movement. In fact, they used to be called Russellites back in the early days. He was brought up Presbyterian. Mr. Russell grew up in a Presbyterian church. But as a teenager, he rejected their doctrines and joined a very liberal Congregational church. The congregation wasn't so liberal, they disappeared. They're just no more around anymore. And at one time, of course, they preached the gospel, but that's been many, many, many years. Soon, Mr. Russell left the Congregationalist as well because he could not accept the deity of Christ, and he could not accept what the Bible teaches about hell and everlasting punishment. Did you get that? Why did Mr. Russell leave an established church and start his own religion? Because he could not accept the deity of Christ and the Bible's doctrine on hell and eternal punishment. So he said, I don't believe that, I'll start my own religion. And you know what the devil said? Good for you, we got plenty of people we can deceive through that religion. And that's exactly what happened. He was inspired by the devil himself. And the rest is history. How many folks have been brainwashed and deceived by that religion? Mr. Russell had no formal Bible training, but he borrowed various teachings that were popular at the time, such as the Seventh-day Adventist denial of hell. Seventh-day Adventists don't believe in a literal hell, and Mr. Russell grabbed on that. He grabbed a hold of that. Now, whether it's Seventh-day Adventist annihilation, or the Roman Catholic purgatory, or the Jehovah's Witness teaching that hell is just a grave, all of these theories, all of these false teachings contradict the plain teachings of the Word of God. And we have to go by the Word of God. The Bible is very plain. Look with me, please, at Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That's an appointment we all have to make. And then comes the judgment. If you're saved today, the Bible says you're not condemned. The Bible says you have everlasting life. The Bible says you're going to go to heaven. But if you're not saved, the Bible says you're condemned already. The wrath of God abideth on you. And unless you repent and get saved, you're going to go to the lake of fire. Back to Revelation 21:8. Who's going to be in the lake of fire? Who's going to be cast into the lake of fire? Who's going to be there? The unsaved are pictured in Revelation 21:8 in their principal characteristics. The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars are all going to be cast in the lake of fire. Now, I believe some Christians have been guilty of some of these sins, but if they were genuine Christians, they repented of those sins and got right with God. That's important to understand. No true Christian, no true born-again child of God can be categorized by this terrible list of sins in Revelation 21, verse 8. There are no Christian unbelievers. That's a contradiction. If he's an unbeliever, he can't be a Christian. There can't be a Christian murderer. If he's a murderer, he's repented of that murder and got right with God. There are no Christian idolaters. I had a friend who told me his mother said a prayer with him and received Christ, but she continued worshiping statues of Mary. I said, my friend, if she really got saved, she'd throw those idols away. Because all idolaters are going to be cast into the lake of fire. He didn't like that because he loved his mother. And of course, we all love our mothers, but if you love your mother, you're going to tell her, Mom, idolatry is a wicked sin. The Bible says you turn from idols and turn to God. No Christian idolaters. And look at that word abominable. The abominable. Listen, there are no abominable Christians. Abomination, abominable means things God hates. The things that God finds detestable. Like witchcraft and idolatry and homosexuality and pride and lying. God hates those things. They're an abomination to Him. You can't live like that and still be a Christian. Now, of course, there are Christians who did that before they were saved. They repented and got right. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And there have been Christians who got backslidden and done some of these things, but they repented and they got right with God. I mentioned earlier, I think it was in Sunday school, there's a Hollywood actor. I read an article in the paper that kind of got my attention. I don't know much about him. I haven't followed his career. I recognize his name, recognize his photograph. His name is Patrick Swayze. He's recently been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He's been interviewed by the press regarding his fears. He's fearful now because he's facing a certain death. Very few people survive pancreatic cancer. In fact, I think it's in which you get it, you only got a couple of years to live. This is what he said. He told a TV interviewer, "You can bet that I'm going through hell," the 56-year-old actor said in the interview. He's mistaken about that. He's not going through hell right now. But if he doesn't get saved, he's going to go to hell. He said, "You can bet I'm going through hell. Hell's a lot worse than pancreatic cancer. I'm not trying to minimize his pain or suffering. Believe me, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be unkind. But it's not hell. Perhaps the Lord is giving him a warning about hell. Perhaps the Lord allowed this sickness into his life to get his attention. Amen. To read the Bible. Amen. Get right with God." Amen. I don't know, but he's not in hell, I'll tell you that. Then he said this. "There's a lot of fear here. I'm fearful. Yeah, I'm scared. Yeah, I'm angry. Yeah, I'm asking, why me?" That's what he said. Why me? Why not him? Why should God spare him cancer? What has he done for God all these years? He's ignored God. He's lived for worldly pleasures, fame and fortune. No time for God. Now he's saying, why does God allow this to happen to me? And listen to this. He says, why me? I tried to have champagne, and it would be like pouring acid, you know, on an open wound. Listen, there's no champagne in hell, so he might as well drink all the champagne he wants now. I'll tell you right now. I'm not going to get any champagne in hell. The actor, Swayze, told the interviewer, Barbara Walters, his illness has made him question the possibility of an afterlife. Well, that's good. At least he's starting to finally think now about an afterlife. For most of his 56 years on earth, he probably didn't give it much thought, right? No. Now that he's got this deadly disease, now he's starting to think about an afterlife. Maybe he'll read the Bible. Maybe somebody will give him a King James Bible and he'll read it. Find out about heaven and hell and sin and forgiveness of sin and salvation and so on. But friends, the only way to get the answers to these perplexing questions is in the Bible. Only in God's Word. This is what Mr. Swayze said. "I don't know what's on the other side." Well, I've heard people joke and say nobody knows because nobody went there and came back. But you know what? The Bible tells us.
Right.
The Bible tells us. The only way to know what's on the other side is to read God's Word. If Mr. Swayze reads the Bible, and I pray he does, and you ought to pray for him too. If Mr. Swayze reads the Bible, he'll discover a word that's found there quite often. The word is called whosoever. Whosoever. We see in Revelation 20, verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." But listen, the word is also found in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So whosoever believes goes to heaven. Whosoever doesn't believe will wind up in a lake of fire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach the Word of God this Lord's Day. This is a very somber subject, a very serious subject, one that's difficult to preach about, but yet we feel we must. It's our responsibility, not just for the unsaved to hear what's in store for them unless they repent, but also for Christians. So we'll have a greater burden to support missionaries and to give out gospel tracts and to invite people to church and try to help people get saved and to pray for lost sinners.